It's Chris and Brian Jones, your real estate advocates, community connectors, talking Charlotte and York County area real estate, and interviewing business owners, entrepreneurs, and community leaders. Welcome to the Jones Zone Podcast.
We still doing this?
Yeah, count me down.
This is like a thing now. Okay, 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to the Jones Zone Podcast, your real estate advocates, community connectors. 803-810-2230 if you have any real estate needs, if you guys are looking to buy, sell, rent, or invest in real estate. And thejoneszones.com, J-O-N-E-S-Z-O-N-E-S.com. Brian.
Yeah, man. What's going on, man?
Let's talk about our morning.
Oh, we had a great morning. Great morning. We went floating, long overdue. Sensory deprivation tank. You've heard me talk
about it. We've talked about
it.
The salt. Oh, man. And let me tell you.
Where at?
Float Carolina here in Waxhaw.
It's in front of us. Not too far
from your story, but I've been looking around. So
imagine okay, you know that feeling you get when you're dozing off for a nap and that right before you fall asleep. It's very peaceful and you're so relaxed, right? Think of like an afternoon nap. Imagine being in that state for 60 minutes. You're floating and it's almost like you're in mold. Not mold in the sense of moldy bread, but like you're molded into like a I don't know how to explain. Yes, you're just there. You're just floating there.
You're weightless. No, you can't see anything. It's pitch black. You can't hear anything.
Yeah, pitch black.
You got earplugs and you're kind of underwater. And it's complete sensory deprivation.
What happens is you take away all your sensory, you're deprived of all your senses. And I must have been in theta state in the brainwave frequency, you know, because I was having all these ideas come to me. I was very relaxed and I was like working out how I'm going to solve all the tasks that I have ahead of me. And it was great. So relaxed. And I get out.
What's the conclusion?
I was falling asleep twice. I almost fell asleep, but yeah.
You wake up like,
because it's been me the whole time.
Yeah, like, do you guys meditate?
A little bit.
Yeah.
That helps out a lot. Do you meditate?
Not as much as I should, but I do.
So I think you and I talked about the calm app and the headspace.
Yeah. So I've been on this meditation for like a month now, just consistently doing it. There's probably been like 3 days out of the month I've missed. And what I've noticed is this time from floating as opposed to the other times, I was able to get into that relaxed state 100 times quicker just because I was focusing on my breath. Mm-hmm. You know, I was like inhale and I was reciting mantras. So it was really cool because I was inhaling. My mantra was this. I was like breathing in reasons. That was reasons. Exhaling excuses. So reasons why I'm doing these things and exhaling, getting rid of excuses. And I was doing that a bunch of different mantras, like inhaling gratitude, exhaling scarcity mindset. Yeah, I was really talking to myself in my head this time, but it got me into that state like really fast. A little tip for you, Chris.
It just, it's really cool, man. I've done it 3 times. How many times have you done it? More?
Dude, yeah, like 10 or so.
Really? 10 times?
Jeez. I used to have a membership and I used to go like once a month.
Oh, man. Yeah, it's really relaxing. It's supposed to be like worth 4 hours of sleep in 1 hour, basically. Yeah. So like a lot of pro athletes do it. Like half the Panthers used to go up to the place we used to go. That was a little further out. So the place we go now is closer, so we usually go there. But it's good stuff, man. You should look into it.
Yeah,
and I mean, it's $60 to try it, so it's not like this crazy thing. But anyways, today we are rejoined by Justin Liquier, Jimmy Coleman, Mako Medical, one of our favorite guests of all time, and probably, I haven't checked the statistics, probably the most listened to podcast that we've had.
It is, the most downloaded, because of just who they are.
Because of who they are.
Right? And I gotta say, for those listening to this and they're not who aren't watching live on Facebook, their hair game.
It's on point, man.
Like I knew them coming in, I was like, I'm not even gonna try. I'm just gonna throw a hat on. And not even like worry about it. But their hair is on point.
I was wondering why you didn't bring any product to the float.
No just need.
Like, yeah.
No need. My hair is a little too long at this point. I need a haircut. So it would have just been a disaster.
Because you gotta take showers before.
Because the people watching on Facebook would have been. That's all they would have focused on, my jacked up hair compared to you guys.
They're like, look at Justin's hard part.
That is great. It's like, yeah, it's.
All right, well, these guys are with Mako Medical. They've been just crushing it since we had them on. Episode 28 was their first appearance, which was March of 2017. So it's been, dude, a year and a half.
Has it been?
And every time I see you guys, you're crushing it. You're doing well. So I want to hear about what you guys have been up to and what's Mako doing. So take a first minute just to kind of say who you are and what you do, and then kind of catch us up to speed on, like, how Mako and you guys are doing everything that you're doing, man. It's amazing. Justin?
You want to tell them, like, the Mako story, and then I can talk about the first few months?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, trying to do a quick synopsis. Every time we open our mouth before ever anything comes out about what we do or who Jimmy, Justin, or I has come down to, like, why we do what we do, right? Textbook Simon Sinek, right? Start with your why, but it really is the most important thing to us and what fires us up every morning. So about 3.5 years ago, Mako Medical was created. I don't know how much people know about the lab industry, but it tends to be a pretty fraudulent industry. It tends to be dominated by two large multi-billion dollar companies who really have a legal monopoly, which is known as a duopoly, where they've worked together. And there needed to be a key third player who was a disruptor. And so when we got into this space, we wanted to build out to where we could have a couple different pillars that made us different, but kind of helped be the foundation of Mako. And that's our why. So one big thing for us is we are an extremely strong faith-based company and very unapologetic about it. So we actually started at the very beginning, got money out to build Mako, and took a chunk of that and poured it into a missionary family, because our mentality is we give, you'll receive tenfold what you ever could have imagined. And since then, now 3.5 years later, we've gone from one missionary family to now 72 missionaries in 20 countries. It's blown up. It's exciting. We get monthly newsletters to hear about them evangelizing across the whole world. And that really means a lot to us. So you'll see us in the Raleigh Parade with a Bible verse on our banner. That really is what fires us up. Another big thing for us is, especially for the listeners, if anyone's ever not listened or read the book The Purple Cow, they should. And talks about how are you completely different than all of your competitors? How do you become so intriguing, so interesting that everybody has to find out about you? People almost become radical about your company. And a big thing we notice is when it comes to picking up supplies and samples, or picking up samples and delivering supplies, tends to be FedEx, UPS, or a third-party courier system. What we decided is, what if we hired a military veteran to come and pick up all the samples? For those who are watching, so I'm wearing blue scrubs, but I have an American flag patch on one shoulder, and you have the military patch on your other shoulder if you've served. And that means a lot to us. And so we started with just one military veteran. It worked out so well that we decided, let's carve out our whole entire logistics division to only be veterans. So now 3 years later, 3.5 years later, we've hired over 100 military veterans, one of the largest veteran employers in the whole entire state. And every human being in North Carolina and most of our states that we service, these samples are hand-picked up by military veterans. And so that means a lot to us. That allows us to really pour into that community. And that means that we can go to doctor's offices when they want. It's a good face, someone who's there to love on them, and not just a FedEx or UPS person who will show up whenever they can, right? And a third thing for us is nonprofits and charities mean a lot. Prime example is our CEO, Chad Price, actually has a younger sister in her late 30s, but the mental IQ of a four-year-old, and needs 24-hour service, 24/7. And quick shout out to the Tabor Lynn Center. They help young adolescents and adults with developmental disabilities. And we decided, what would happen if every time we gained a partnership with a doctor, we allocated a portion of our profit back into a nonprofit or charity? And so it started with just one nonprofit and charity, then it became 50, then it became 100. Now we have over 300 nonprofits and charities we help every single month. So I think all of that has really helped us build a story that now we are the only lab in North Carolina that's in network with every major insurance company, which is a huge accomplishment. And this year we're projected to hit over $125 million in revenue, which is mind-blowing in a third year, and we're excited about the growth. So that's a little synopsis of our why. I'll talk about me in a minute, but I'll let Jimmy take it from here.
No, I mean, yeah, that's good stuff about Mako. And Justin and I were buddies before Mako happened. And so I was in conversation with Chad, and Chad and Josh started the company. And he was hardcore trying to get me to, you know, join Mako, and I wasn't really interested. I had my own things going, and Justin was actually, you know, seeking a perfect opportunity to work in healthcare. So I said, how about you talk to my buddy Justin? And he kept the idea in mind of this package deal, best case scenario, and was very persistent about that. And so we decided that, you know, it's the first Saturday of February, we decided to drive down to the lab in Raleigh. We're both from Virginia. And just check out, you know, see what this company is all about. And by the end of the day, we both called our girlfriends who live in Virginia and told them we're moving 5 hours away in 3 weeks. And they handled that very well, actually. still with us today.
We appreciate it.
That's what we did. And when we first moved here, it was more of a PR campaign than it was like selling widgets, you know. It was the goal, I think, that we had in mind was how can we create relationships where, you know, every single relationship, that person has more to gain from us than we have to gain from them. And that includes our clients as well. So how can we get to a point with a prospect of ours where we're not just being looked at as a vendor who has to pay them, but has to feed them in order to get them to talk to us. We want to be at a place where they're reaching out to us because we have resources that could help them, whether it's, you know, our Facebook group, you know, Charlotte Healthcare Network, the amount of followers we might have on LinkedIn. So that if they want to, you know, fill a position in their office, we can post an opening position for, you know, an internal medicine doctor in Matthews or something like that. Like, we can do all these things and have all these resources. So one thing we're working on right now is like creating a job fair for the healthcare market, so we can go from office to office letting them know, like, hey, we're gonna put this job fair together, we're gonna try and make it like free for you guys. This is just a thing we're doing just to help you out. Our end game is, yeah, we want to have all the business in this area as much as we possibly can, but how about we offer value to you guys outside of just being a vendor for labs? And so that's what we created. The first 6 months, didn't even try to really sell anything. It was just like we built the, you know, the meetup group, Charlotte Healthcare Players, where once a month we're either playing board games or volleyball or Topgolf, and just helping people connect within healthcare and even outside of healthcare, obviously talking to you guys. So that's kind of been the game plan. It's been a lot of fun. We want to hire an assistant, and we also have a couple people on our sales team that are just super bought in. It's like, yeah, I've been practicing gratitude a lot lately as well, and it's a very easy time to be grateful. So
right.
Yeah.
So just to recap, so Mako Medical wants doctors and physicians and facilities to use their laboratories to regulate medicine and prescriptions and stuff like that, right?
Well, yeah, that's one side of it. Yeah, we're full service, so we can test blood, urine, saliva. We have a 12,000 square foot toxicology lab, and then a 58,000 square foot blood lab. So we're working with a range from addiction clinics to primary care doctors.
And so the lab opened up in Raleigh was the first one, and then they hired you guys to kind of expand into the Charlotte region, and then. So that was, like, when you guys first came on, you had just started, right?
Yeah, 1 month.
And yeah, so, in the last 17 months, like, what all have you guys done? Because you guys are the fastest growing company in North Carolina for, like, the last 2 years, right, or something?
Yeah.
Obviously, you two had a big part in that. I mean, you could talk about Purple Cow and all that sort of stuff, but, like, what did you guys actually do? Like, how did you do it, man?
I think, it's because when Jimmy and I came here, we both had the mentality. Let me get back to even the first part where a lot of times people joke around. Jimmy and I are like, you guys work together, you guys live together. How do you guys handle that 16, 18 hours a day, right? And something we talk about is Jimmy and I are so on fire every second in life and have the same vision and goals with Mako that you no longer care about the small petty stuff, the different lifestyle changes, like, whatever that is, it no longer matters. And so we've been able to really work together and sit down and say, at 23 and 24 years old when we came to Mako, we're gonna work 90 hours a week. We're gonna work weekends, you're gonna work nights, we are going to crush the competition, right? Why compete when you can dominate was our mentality. And provide so much value that by the end of the first couple of years, we want people, you know, being like, thank God Justin, Jimmy, and all of Mako came to Charlotte. They made such a positive impact. And so that turned into all of our healthcare groups getting involved. We're part of the Emerald School of Excellence, which is the first recovery high school for young adolescents. We tie into YBLA that helps mentor young children. Like, how do we make a huge impact? And so through that, that was the first 6 months, like what Jimmy said, turned into building strong relationships with doctors. We were able to help Mako hire a huge portion of the sales team to grow. Because when we first came here, we were only in a couple states. Now we're in 9 states. We have our core four being South Carolina, North Carolina, West Virginia, and Georgia. But now, I mean, the sales team has probably tripled. Revenue has definitely doubled. And things have really blown up. So I think it's really just those hours being in the same common mission, vision, making an impact, really sacrificing almost anything, and having the most selfless women supporting us, which has been huge, has kind of helped get us to where we are now, and definitely hiring the right people. So,
did Chad kind of give you guys the green light to like do what you need to do to grow this, or did you have to kind of run things through him, or like?
Yeah, we, it was
it gives you a budget and you got to stay within it.
It's partially like genius and irresponsible at the same time on his part, just letting a couple, we were 22 or 23 years old when we first met you guys, kind of just, you know, let us run. And
it's funny,
we ran.
When I met him at that that thing we were at, I was like, so you're Jimmy and Justin's boss? And he's like, those guys don't need bosses. They don't have a boss. I was like, oh, okay, cool.
Yeah, no, it's funny. He actually was in town a couple months back, and we were at a networking type thing, and I was introducing people. I was introducing him to people as my driver. And he just like went along with it, so it was pretty funny.
I think they've done a good job of cultivating an environment of entrepreneurship, right? Where you have...
So let's talk about that. What is entrepreneurship?
I think it's kind of become a buzzword as of lately for sure, right? But it's one of those things where at Mako, you're not seen as an employee. You almost are a partner of the company, right? That's how we sell it to people, that you make huge decisions. You are an entrepreneur that is using Mako's brand and continuing to build it, right? So when Jimmy and I came, there was no weekly phone calls asking how things were going. There was no micromanagement on a CRM. It was, hey, we trust you, build out a brand, market well, make a huge impact, partner with doctors. I kind of joke around, I tell people, it's like they threw you in the water, you didn't know how to swim, and they said, we'll be back in a year, and if you taught yourself how to swim, you find the island and you're the king of the island, then we're gonna know you're a winner. And that's what we tried to prove for a year. And that's how we got in a position where we are now, where we have a team and we oversee a large portion of North Carolina. But you have to find the right people there because you're giving ultimate flexibility with entrepreneurship, especially in our position where you're working from home, right? It's 90 degrees outside. All your friends want to hang out and go to the pool. How do you say, no, I'm building an empire? Like, that doesn't matter. That's not a temptation. That it has no positive effect on me forward. I've got to focus on Mako. And so it's just giving them the flexibility to build it as if it is their own company, all inside of still being an employee of a company. That's how I would explain it, long-winded, but.
What are some of the things that you guys have actually done? Like, how are you building relationships with doctors and how are you gaining so many new partners?
A lot of it is stuff we just mentioned. You know,
like literally just mentioned.
Yeah, but
we can repeat it for next time.
No, I mean, like, what are you literally doing? Like, if someone says, yeah, that sounds great, but what are you literally doing?
I think between, it's always events, you always want to have something you can invite someone to. So, what's really interesting is we've been able to find a way to take an industry that is mostly, like, most heavily into like door knocking, right? Going to doctor's offices, you drop off the brownies, you're doing all that like normal door knocking stuff. And we've been able to get a lot of that kind of work done over LinkedIn or through events. So like on LinkedIn, we might have a conversation start because we endorse a doctor for healthcare or something like that. And they say thank you because everyone just clicks the two buttons to say thank you. And then you respond back, say, you know, sure thing, Dr. Smith. Surprised we don't already know each other. how about you, you know, come to this event coming up, you know, we're hosting, you know, in 2 weeks or something like that, a great way for you to meet other people in healthcare. Or, you know, today I was making phone calls to facilities because Justin mentioned that we are both involved with a recovery high school for teens that struggle with addiction. Well, they have an event coming up, not this Saturday, but the following Saturday. And we actually have tables that are free. And so we're calling facilities and we're having our sales team do the same thing, where their approach, instead of dropping off brownies, is how about I just go to all these facilities that I want to build a relationship with and say, hey, do you guys want a free table at an event with 300 to 500 plus people?
Yeah.
And that's how you build a relationship. This job fair idea, instead of, again, dropping off brownies, you walk into the office and say, hey, my name's Jimmy. I'm actually helping put together the Charlotte Healthcare Career Fair. I just need to talk to the office manager about the positions you guys are looking to fill in the next few months. And that really is my goal. But through doing that, I'll build a relationship with that person who, you know, I'm adding value to. It always comes down to, like, how can we always make sure we're in a position where they have more to gain from us than we have to gain from them by them being our clients. And so it's helping them get introductions. We had a meeting this morning with a guy, and you know, it's very clear that, you know, he's okay with his current lab, but what would really change is if he had not just a vendor, but like a business partner, someone that was like introducing them to people that could help them grow their business. And it's all done in a very ethical way. It's just networking, but at maybe a higher level in some cases.
It's providing value in other ways other than just what the services you offer. It's going above and beyond, basically. Mm-hmm. However you can provide value, just in different ways.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
we talk a lot about different levels with a doctor, and the first one's being a vendor, where you're kind of a glorified caterer. You have to feed them to get their time. You're really not even seen as a human being. Then how do you get to the next level, which is you're a consultant, right? So it's a little bit more of they respect your opinion, you matter, there's a decent relationship there, but there's not much more. And then you get to where your business partner, family, they're looking at you very much as like part of their company, where another vendor comes and talks to them and they may ask you, do you think I should use them? What have you heard? Like, and I can help guide them. Or they say, I'm really struggling with social media presence and SEO branding and marketing because millennials are Googling where to go to doctor's offices. They're not asking people for referrals anymore. How do I handle that? How do I handle reimbursements? We want to be those guys. And so a huge part of our business is, yes, focusing on labs, because Mako right now is at a sweet spot. I can pretty much walk into any doctor's office and say, pretty much any test that you need done, we can do it, we have a partner for, but we're still small enough that we can tailor everything to you. But I also want to make sure that I have all the connections to fix their problems. Mm-hmm. I want them to know of Justin and Jimmy as the connectors, the problem solvers, the givers, not the regional directors of a fast growing lab. That tends to be the perk, that tends to be what we do, but they need to be going to bed at night thinking how great Jimmy and Justin have influenced their business in a positive manner, or else we haven't done our job. And so that's why 40, 50 hours a week might be lab related, but the other 30, 40 hours a week is who's the most influential people in the whole entire community, especially ones that can help doctors. And how do I make sure I provide them so much value that when I have a doctor, I can connect them and it's just a perfect synergy.
Something that's going on right now, and there's been a lot of progress made, is you have these two huge hospitals in the Charlotte area, and they're buying out independent practices left and right. And a lot of legislation is being made in hospitals' favor. So they have, you know, when decisions are being made, they have like 15 lobbyists each, right? Well, who's representing independent physicians? There's no one. By definition, they're independent. They're, you know, spread out. They're sporadic. And so our first opportunity to talk to a group called the Independent Physicians of the Carolinas, we didn't make it all about this cool genetic test that we have that, you know, they could, you know, share with their patients and how much it costs and like all those silly details that other labs can talk about. We said, you know, we have good relationships with Henry McMaster. We have good relationships with Lieutenant Governor Dan Forrest, the Deputy Insurance Commissioner of North Carolina, Michelle Osborne. We have really good relationships with these people. So how about, instead of like talking your ear off about labs, we introduce you to these people and they help you find the steps you need to take in order to get representation and save your business. And, you know, so we can offer that value. We actually had an event You guys saw the one at the Duke Mansion with Henry McMaster. There's 15 to 20 doctors to that one. A month later, we had another one at the Ballantine Hotel where we had, I'm sorry, that one was doctors only.
Oh, yeah. Oh, okay. No wonder. I was wondering.
So that event, we had about 40 to 50 independent physicians out. And we had Lieutenant Governor Dan Forrest, Michelle Osborne, a lobbyist. It's all about educating them, helping them make the connections with the people that could help them, you know, stay in business. And so you offer that much value, it goes on for a long time.
That's awesome.
It's figuring out what's really keeping them up at night, not just what I'm selling them.
Yeah.
You know?
Good stuff, man.
That's great advice for anybody who's looking, any business really, who wants to stand out and find their purple cow, is care and find out what problems you can solve. It comes from a marketing standpoint as well. It's just basically finding out what problems that your customer has and figuring out a way to provide a solution to it. It's the name of the game.
Yeah. I'm trying to sell something to person A. Everyone's always trying to sell something to someone, right? Person A wants to sell something, so to speak, to person B. And so how about you just cut the corner, you know, make friends with person B with no strings attached, and then later on down the road, introduce person B to person A. Person A that you're trying to sell something to will love you forever, you know?
Yeah.
They'll always remember you were the one that made the introduction. They'll always remember you were the one that made them feel good, right? And especially when you're selling a product or service, 99% of the time it comes down to what's the cost.
Yeah.
I want to become so valuable outside the product or service, they say, I don't care what the cost is.
Yeah.
I can't fathom a life without having Mako being a part of my company.
I forgot where I read it, but it was like that the cost is only relevant in the absence of value. So when there's no value, that's when you're like, all right, how much is this going to cost me? Or how much, okay, well, this guy does it cheaper, so I'm going to go with him. That's when you know there's no value. Huh?
Ed Milet, even.
What's that?
Ed Milet.
Ed Milet. Is that who said it?
Yeah,
there's a couple different variations
I came up
of
with that.
That
myself. Okay. But
there's several variations.
He probably stole it from you.
I came up with that when I was floating this morning.
I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you guys about LinkedIn, man.
You touched on it.
You guys are the masters. Like, are there some changes with LinkedIn, or how are you guys using that to grow your business, and how can everyone else use it to grow theirs too?
Four-ish steps.
Which, by the way,
yeah.
I went to their one of their presentations on LinkedIn. It was amazing. Yeah, it was a great job.
It was
very interesting, that presentation, because usually we might do that in front of a group of like business majors or like sales type people, right? And we did it in front of a group of like people who are studying psychology.
Yeah, it's like college seniors or something.
Yeah.
A very interesting group, but really, you break it down in four steps. Step number one is building out your profile, because later on in the other steps, you're going to be driving so much traffic to that profile that you're going to want to make sure that it's sticky in some way.
How do you drive traffic? I know a lot of it is consistency. Is that the main key? Because I can post something one day, honestly, it gets like six likes maybe. Then the next time I could post something, I'll get a little bit more likes. But like, when you say drive traffic to, it's not like Facebook. You don't pay ads, do you?
No, I don't.
There's a science, for sure.
There's a science.
Yep. Consistency is huge. But there's also automation too, which LinkedIn's very careful. But there's right and wrong ways to do an automation. But like, and to give you guys an example of driving a lot of traffic, the steps I do in like 2, 3, and 4 made it so that they used to like rank profiles on LinkedIn based on views, right? Like, so based off of all your connections, where do you rank? Based off of everyone in your company, where do you rank? Profiles similar to you, where do you rank? They used to do that. And when I used to be at Northwestern, there was 26,000 Northwestern profiles on LinkedIn. And of those 26,000 profiles, I was the most viewed profile in Northwestern. The 26,000. So, and I'm just saying that just so you guys understand like how step 2, 3, and 4 like truly like gets people to view your profile. So step one really matters, and optimizing your profile, it comes down a lot to being vulnerable. We keep mentioning purple cow type of stuff. So does your headline say you know, sales representative at Mako Medical Laboratories, or does it actually say more about who you are? Right now, mine says, you know, connector, giver, intrapreneur, and that alone gets people to ask questions like, what is a giver? And then allows me to go into the, you know, the story that Justin told you guys about Mako, where it's like, well, our company gives back to, you know, 300 and charities nonprofits every year, hire over 100 veterans, yada, yada, yada. And in order for us to be able to do that, I need to be able to, you know, create partnerships. And that's why, you know, I feel like that accurately describes my position. So it lets me give my elevator pitch. But saying something that's going to turn heads, like the headline needs to be intrigue and not just a billboard where people can put you into a box. So if you're like trying to connect with someone and it says something, something, you know, sales, like very like cliche, right?
No personality, just boring, kind of straight to the point, customer service rep.
Yeah, totally. Like that's a reason why someone might put you into a box and not even connect with you. Definitely not respond to your message.
Because if I see sales rep at a company and they reach out to me, I'm like, okay, they're trying to sell me this. Is it worth my time? 99.9% of the time, no.
Right.
Yeah, and even if it's like not even sales, just something that is just so obvious where I know exactly what you're doing and I don't need it, or I don't see how this is going to go any further. But if you connected more on like who you are, like you like connecting people, or you can call yourself a connector, you're a giver, you can do that. Intrapreneur is pretty neat because it is very accurate, and I've had people message me saying I'm spelling entrepreneur wrong.
Right.
So that's huge. The summary is big time. People read summaries on LinkedIn. So instead of, again, using that as a sales pitch for the company you work for or the company you own, how can you use it to help people truly know who you are? So right now, mine is my vision statement. It's my 2020 vision statement, and it's every single thing I'm trying to accomplish, all the way down like past the surface level things. Because this is something I actually wrote in my personal journal maybe 2 or 3 years ago, and then I finally got the courage to share it publicly. And it's like going from like my relationship with God, my relationship with Morgan, you know, up to date on all my medical checkups. Like it's everything. I didn't like filter it because it's just what I was thinking to myself personally when I was writing in my journal. And I've had people message me before, and just on the basis of what one line they found in my summary, and say that related to them in some way. And they want to just have a conversation with me because they can relate to, you know, having those goals, those dreams, or something like that. You could put your daily affirmations in that summary. That's a very vulnerable thing. I think something we talked about in the last podcast was 7 levels of intimacy. You know, first level of intimacy is like, you know, when we got together today, we talked about the weather. The very first thing is the most common thing people talk about, right? The person you talk to who's checking out your groceries, they say, how's your day? And you're saying because they have to ask. And so you give an answer that is the minimal, like, you know, possible response, which is fine, good, great. You know, like a cliche response. The next level of intimacy is you share a fact. So you might say, it was great, I bought a dog today. Next level of intimacy, you share an emotion. Great, I bought a dog today, made me so happy I wanted to cry. The next one, you share vulnerability. You give them a peek into your life. And so it was great. I bought a dog today. Maybe so happy I wanted to cry. We named him Buddy after my grandfather who passed away 2 weeks ago. And all of a sudden, like, this person that's checking out your groceries knows you much better. And they really care about it. They love you in some way, right? Because they, like, they know who you are better. At least as, like, in a brotherly way. Well, maybe not a brotherly way.
Do you have a VIC card or not?
Yeah, right? Like, okay. Yeah, VIC card or not, that's funny. In the summary, you want to get to a much higher level of intimacy because then people aren't putting you into a box anymore. It's much more about who you are as a human. When you message them, they get to see, you know, who you are in your headline, in your summary. If you want to go into your experience and brag about your company and stuff like that, you can do that there because it's appropriate. Make sure you have pictures and stuff, of course, you know, if like you want a trophy or something like that with your company, that's fine. But try to make it more like about vulnerability and just standing out. Intrigue is another good word. Step 2 is just all about connecting with the right people. So If you want to work with people who are fitness trainers, let's say that's like your main target demographic. There's millions out there, literally. And so, and if you're not constrained by geographics, then that makes it even easier. But you can search trainer, you can search fitness, you can search whatever like the top 10 keywords are to describe a fitness trainer. You can dive into the industry and go to like health, wellness, and something else is the industry for that. You can do all these things. Alternative medicine might even be a good one. And you can find all these fitness trainers, build out your network. You know, right now mine's at 27,000. And those are all people who are in my target market. And so that way in step three, when you're getting people to engage with you, whether it's you endorse them, and they, when people get a notification for you endorsing them, everyone knows that you get a notification that says, Jimmy Coleman endorsed you for leadership. There's a button that says, say thanks. You just click that button, and then a message is already typed out, and you click the send button. So you're two clicks away. Your prospect is two clicks away from starting a conversation with you versus you starting a conversation with them and being the weirdo that says, hey, I'd love to grab coffee sometime. Yeah. And all right, where is this leading to, right? There's all these question marks. But they start the conversation with you, which makes it okay for you to say, you know, sure thing, Bob. Surprised we don't already know each other. And then maybe you invite them to an event or whatever your best funnel is. Maybe you invite them to a Facebook group or something, just depending on what they're all about. So, and then and there's a lot of ways, by the way, to get people to message you, get people to view your profile. Think of all the ways that, all the things that people get notifications for, whether it's messages, people have work anniversaries, birthdays. When you have 27,000 connections, you get like 100 notifications every single day that someone's birthday, work anniversary, or job change or something. So those are just a ton of messages where you send those just by clicking twice, and you know, 40% of them will say thank you, and now you're in a conversation with them. Showing up on the timeline is a really cool thing. It makes it so you can, you know, be multiple places at one time. There's people who are seeing Jimmy Coleman right now on LinkedIn, and I'm not talking to them, but they're scrolling through their timeline and they're seeing it. So there's value in that, but notifications are king. The last part is just automation. There are automation tools out there where you can endorse like, you know, 100 people a day if you wanted to. That's 100 people that are getting notifications with your name on it, with, and they're two clicks away from starting a conversation with you. You build out your connections the right way, those are 100 prospects who are two clicks away from starting a conversation with you, whether they realize what they're getting themselves into yet or not. There's automation tools for connecting with people, the automation tools for following people, for messaging people. There's things out there.
So. And we even have, so our sales team has started to implement some of these, and I thought this was so cool. They just sent this to us. So one guy, his views in the last 90 days up 379% in the last 90 days. This guy spent a lot of time, we've worked with him closely in the last 2 weeks, up 30,600% in views in the last 90 days.
What tool?
You see that? You see that shark fin right there?
Yeah.
So
reminds me of Mako.
That's exactly right. You want to see a burst in people seeing you. So you just did exactly what Jimmy explained to you.
So what tools are you talking for this automation? Is it like something they buy or what? Like
Linkteleport is the best one. You can do a 15-day trial. It's a Chrome add-on. They're always changing though because LinkedIn's always trying to block them. So like before Linkteleport, I had another one called Autopilot for LinkedIn. Linkteleport's been going pretty steady though, actually, over a year. Linked, not even LinkedIn, because then they get in trouble. It's Linked Helper. And you just do the Chrome add-on, 15-day trial, but then they undercharge. So it's like, if you do 1 month, it's $15, but if you do a string of months, it averages out to like $8. Pretty ridiculous.
Not bad, yeah.
You have to be strategic with it, right? Yeah. You're not sending too many requests. It'll alert you.
Yeah.
It also has a timer, how many it'll send per minute, because it needs to make sure LinkedIn thinks it's a human. There's multiple things. That's a big part of it, but another big thing is just posting consistently, posting the right content, starting conversations with people when you like endorse them, things like that.
Is Elon Musk behind the
Linkteleport?
He'd
crush it beyond belief.
I wish. When you said to make sure it's a human, just made me think it was like, oh geez, something he's up to probably.
In regards to the post, words are king with posts. You wouldn't think so. Like Facebook, like we're doing a live video right now. Bunch of your friends got notifications that you're doing a live video, but videos are like down on the LinkedIn
opposite
algorithm.
Of Facebook and Instagram.
Yeah.
Yep.
Pictures hurt the SEO of your LinkedIn posts. Tagging people is very ineffective. It hurts the SEO.
Because people will just tag 50 people, right? Because you want them to see it, but it will crush it. You post a video and you tag 20 people, you might get a couple thousand views. But Jimmy and I posted like a paragraph or like two or three sentences, nothing, and you're getting over 10,000 easy. Like it's
are you some of those guys that write like 20 paragraphs in one line? Like I went to the store, period. The cashier looked at me and I was nervous, period. I didn't know what to do, exclamation mark.
They put spaces,
yeah,
you have to
yeah,
click
yeah.
view. More.
Yeah.
Josh Fletcher does that. You know who he is? He's popular, but...
As annoying it can be at times, it's unbelievably like useful. Like it gets you the results that you want. That's what influencers are doing. They're doing... It is the most mind-blowing first tagline, right? Why my father didn't like me as a child. Or something like that, right? Why I struggled with ever having kids. And then it'll have, you know, a couple spaces down, and then it will dive into the story. But, I mean, it works. Gets people to click, gets people to look at it.
Storytelling 101.
Yes.
Grab the attention.
Get the hook.
Yep.
Yeah.
Get the hook.
That's right. It was pretty, I mean, like, so that process, I mean, and there's much for the deaf, but, like, I have a buddy who, I share that with a lot of friends, and I have a buddy, this is one of the coolest ones. He, for what he sold in particular, Walmart's budget was about $10 billion actually, and he got a meeting with Walmart from that process, like the decision makers at Walmart for his consulting services, and he just like was calling me and just saying how hyped he was about it and how that whole like silly like little process worked out. So
that's awesome.
It's effective.
Yeah.
All right, guys, take us home, man. Let's leave the last 30 seconds to wrap up. How can people get in touch with you? What services you provide and all that sort of stuff, and like I said, how people can get in touch with you.
And how people can get in touch
with you. And more importantly, how people can get in touch with you.
Yes, so let me start this out real quick by letting people know how they can get in touch with me.
Don't forget.
Yeah. I didn't want people to forget. Okay. So I guess so guys, real quick, you can get in touch with me by first off, you can reach out to either of us. Either on Facebook, LinkedIn, I'm sure they'll have us tagged all throughout this. We live here in South Charlotte in the Ballantyne area, oversee a huge portion of North Carolina. We never really touched into exactly what we do for the most part. We talked a little bit, but at the end of the day, we service mainly independent doctors and run all of their blood, urine, and DNA genetic testing. That's really what it comes down to. But we're close by. There's nothing.
My phone number is public on LinkedIn, and so one of the things is like I'm pretty dyslexic, so if I get a lot of messages and emails, which we really do, it's tough to give me a response. But if someone calls me, I pretty much always call back, so they can find me on LinkedIn and give me a call.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Hey, Justin, Jimmy,
cool.
Thanks for coming back to the Jones Zone, man. Good to see you guys again.
Good hanging with you.
Thanks so much for listening to the Jones Zone Podcast with Chris and Brian Jones. We'll catch you on the next episode.